Welcome to Mind Love Premium, episode 60. Today's episode is all about how to be sad better.
Many of us either react to larger fashion to something. We may be quicker to go to that emotion, and that emotion may stay with us for longer. And if our parents aren't modeling what the kind of appropriate response is and helping us to understand and label our emotions, so it's back to the idea of granularity of like, oh, are you angry or are you sad? Actually, maybe you're sad. And if we don't get that as children, then that's a tough job, because we do have to tackle that as adults if we want to be in with a fighting chance of a good life. And that's a really hard thing to do, but it is possible.
How often do you get sad? What does being sad feel like to you? How long does it usually last? Are you sad right now? Do you even know? Do you know the answer to any of these questions? We all have feelings, so we should know these things, right? But I don't think most of us do know the answers to these questions. Well, some of them at least. I know I didn't. I actually remember the very first time someone asked me how I was feeling, and I mean really asked me. It wasn't even that long ago. I think I was like 29 years old. I had my autoresponder on, of course. How are you feeling? I'm fine, how are you? No, really, how are you feeling right now? The question kind of took me back. I wanted to say slower, I'm fine, how are you? But it got me to pause long enough to really check in. I don't know if I'm fine. I mean, I hope that I'll be fine eventually. But right now, my body doesn't feel so good, and my mind feels even worse. From that day forward, I checked in with myself differently. Well, to be more specific, I started strengthening my awareness so I would remember to check in with myself differently. I think that autoresponder that most of us have is a protection mechanism to keep us from having to feel too deeply, or even feel at all. But even on the surface, it is not serving us. Our words create our realities. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just feel fine. I want to feel good, like really good. So why am I reinforcing a mediocre reality with words that keep me in the in-between? That space of just coasting, not feeling bad, but not feeling good. So really just not feeling anything. What kind of life is that? Fine also keeps us from connecting with people. We don't go too deep. We don't invite them into our feeling space. We practically skip over the question altogether so that we can get back to what we're comfortable with, like the weather. How's the weather? Fine. But I think mostly it keeps us from connecting with ourselves. If we're fine, we don't have to investigate any further. Why am I not fine? What am I feeling? What does it feel like? And it's funny because these questions are actually easier when something big happens. Like when my dad died, I knew why I wasn't fine. I didn't always share this with people, but I knew. I wasn't fine, but then I would be, I think. At least I would be the fine that we've been collectively creating for God knows how long. But the questions become harder when nothing specifically traumatic has happened. It's Tuesday. I have a family and a job, and I'm not fine. I think I might be sad. But why? This why opens the door for answers that we may not like. Maybe it leads us to make big, scary changes. Or maybe we realize we need extra help. Or maybe we've been glossing over sadness with fine for so long that our bodies no longer know how to release it. So that dull sadness is the new normal that just becomes our new fine. Maybe actually admitting and really feeling our sadness is the only way out of it. Well, that's what we're talking about today. And our guest is Helen Russell. She's a best-selling author, journalist, and speaker. She spent 8 years studying cultural approaches to emotions, and she discovered a startling fact. Most of us are terrified of being sad. So phobic, in fact, that we jeopardize our chances of truly living at all. And she says that this needs to change because we need our sadness. It's a message. It can tell us what's wrong and what to do about it. Researchers have found that, as counterintuitive as it sounds, allowing for temporary sadness makes us happier. And trying to avoid sadness, even to the extent that many of us just do on a daily basis, is detrimental to our mental health. Helen's new book, How to Be Sad, is the happiest book you'll ever read about being sad. Three key things we will learn are what we can learn from different cultures around managing emotions, why we cry, and healthier strategies to cope with sadness. But before we dive into our feelings, I want to invite you to wake up to the morning mind love. Every weekday morning, you get a little inspiration to set your tone for the day, you know, to wake up happier. Plus, when you sign up, you get two free gifts, a 30-minute meditation and 30 days of journaling prompts to help you grow. And it's all completely free. So join over 9,000 people and go to mindlove.com to sign up. Hey there, Wild Minds. So this was just a preview, but you can access the whole episode with a MindLove Premium membership. If MindLove has been helpful to you in any way, consider helping support the show by joining this exclusive community. I promise I'm making it totally worth it. You get exclusive episodes, which means twice the MindLove, in a private feed that imports right to your favorite podcast app, so you don't have to go to the web to listen. And that's not all. You also get all MindLove episodes ad-free for uninterrupted listening. You get early access to episodes, and you get bonus video interviews and powerful meditation downloads. And finally, you get priority access to me, so you're free to reach out to me with any questions that you have about life, love, relationships, success, whatever it might be. And in more good news, you can get started free with a 2-week free trial. Just go to mindlove.com/premium. And if you're a student, reach out to me on Instagram and I'll give you a special discount.